Boots and cats and boots and cats.
Sounds good.
I love you.
All right. Yo, nerd up. This is the Nerd AF podcast. We are a podcast that talks all things nerd, especially as it relates to the culture at large. I am your host, Brad Bogus, and joining me as always is Hugh Johnson and Richard Williams. And our guest today, we have the one and only Professor Pat Traylor. What's up, Pat?
Hello.
So, we've got a lot of things to talk about today. We want to go over Jessica Jones, Season 2, particularly. We've been talking a little bit about that. Now we want to really dive into it a little bit. We want to talk Deadpool 2 trailer, one of the most exciting trailers in nerddom. Cobra Kai, Do or Die, the new Karate Kid, which is super exciting if you're old fucking nerd like us. So, I know Richard's really just been like bursting at the seams like literally the last month to talk about Jessica Jones. This is one of the most exciting shows for you, I know. So what does Jessica Jones season 2 mean for you, Richard Williams?
Each episode is directed by a woman. Jessica Jones this season, spoilers, so sorry. It's her mom. I mean, the person, the big bad in this show, it's her mom. They didn't know.
She's supposed to be dead, right? Like from season one.
Yeah, she got like burned. She got burned alive in a car wreck, and the father and the son both died. Jessica and her mother both got saved. Of course, she wasn't burned alive. She was like out of the car. She got like kicked out of the car or whatever. What are you
talking about, Jessica?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the mother got burnt up in the car. So it's about the story of her basically coming back. The same therapy that they used on Jessica Jones, they used on her. They didn't have to use it as aggressively, but the mother has rage issues and wants to kill anybody who's going to hurt anyone that she loves. And you kind of see that the mother followed her through her youth. And because
like lurking like dark man. And
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. No, seriously. And anyone who was going to hurt her, a boyfriend, say perhaps, and saw what was actually going on. And when she didn't, she killed him. And Jessica took all of this with her and always thought it was her fault. She goes, no matter what I do, everyone I love dies. And anyway, it's a beautiful series. I loved it. And it basically kind of turns into this Thelma and Louise thing at the end where mom and daughter are trying to figure each other out. And she was never going to let her mother go. And then at one point, a certain character, because she loves Jessica, has to kill the mother. It was either Jessica or the mother, because all these cops were coming in and they were going to kill. Yeah, they were going to kill both of them. And so someone had to
die.
Big
reveal for Professor Pat over here. Damn. I think.
Sorry about that.
I got so spoiled.
Sorry, guys.
We did tell him it was going to happen.
I got real spoiled.
So I didn't want to ruin it for you, but yikes.
Kind of has to happen.
Yeah, no doubt. It takes like a hell of a long time for it, for like that even for that plot to even kick in, though, right? Isn't it like six episodes in?
Yeah, and then it's also best friends. It's Trish or Hellcat, as most people know in the comic books. It's about their relationship. It's about her relationship with her mother and trying to rekindle it. It shows why she drinks so much and why she's so fucked up. And she drinks because she's so fucked up. And she's angry and she's sad and she doesn't get it out. But it's also about the supporting characters and how they rally to help her in their most fucked up ways.
I'm only two episodes in, but I don't know. Like, I was getting kind of bored with Malcolm's story, like, towards the end of season one.
Yeah.
And, like, it seems like he's getting better.
I still haven't seen the rest of season one. I have, like, three episodes left. But
well, in season...
He grows.
Do you want me to ruin that?
We're going to talk about it.
Okay, in season one, it is the Purple Man, David Tennant, that basically makes him a drug addict. His parents are good people, and they volunteer, and they taught, they instilled all of this into him, and he wants to help and be a part of the community and do all of this, and he made him a drug addict to watch over Jessica Jones, which I think is the most fucked up thing you can do. And then he is struggling with it in season two. And he goes, "You're a user." And he notices other people who are users. And
anyway, in the comic books, do they refer to him as Purple Man instead of Kilgrave?
Both.
Yeah.
Okay.
They go back and forth.
Because they don't really call him Purple Man at all in the show.
Right.
And you kind of see in the last episode of season one. Sorry, Pat. Yeah, he takes like the extra like power. You can see his veins going purple. Right. I thought they were going to take his face purple, and like they didn't end up doing that.
They alluded to it, I think, in the most beautiful ways, like through the veins when he got extra powers through his suits.
Yeah.
Through the lighting.
Right.
They always alluded that he was always the Purple Man, even though they never call him the Purple Man. They always call him Kilgrave.
Right.
So, in a comic.
Yeah, I mean, Purple Man is not really an intimidating name. Like, oh, it's Purple Man. Like, it sounds pretty good.
Well, he takes control of you.
You know what I mean?
Like, like Luke Cage. We right? took control of Luke Cage.
So, I was, because I'm not, like, super into the comics or the stories, I just kind of follow these things haphazardly. I saw Luke Cage season one, and then I saw Jessica Jones season one. Does Jessica Jones take place before or after Luke Cage season one?
Before.
Okay.
Before.
Got it.
And it's all leading up to the Defenders, right?
Right.
Okay, okay.
Exactly.
Daredevil and Iron Fist.
Right.
So I'm not like super, I didn't really get into Daredevil much, and I didn't watch Iron Fist, but the things that I think is really compelling about Jessica Jones and Luke Cage is that they don't feel like your traditional superhero comic book films.
Exactly.
Right. They feel like actual real stories with like layered kind of intricacies, and sort of the superhero thing is takes a back seat to everything else.
Right.
Well, I mean, you know, in Luke Cage is definitely a lot more forward. It definitely feels a little bit more like a traditional comic book film or series than Jessica Jones season one, and definitely season two, as it's really mostly a character study for the most part until you get to the end.
Yeah.
But I think that's just really compelling because you just don't get that much. Jessica Jones is essentially a noir series with just like a couple things about powers littered in.
Right.
But it's just kind of to accent some other deeper truth or something that the character's going through.
Right.
I really like how vulnerable they are. Like, you don't really see it much in the MCU and the big films and stuff, but like when Luke Cage finally gets shot, like with that special bullet, like it's like a bitch to get that thing out. Like, Jessica Jones, she can be knocked out, she can be hurt, like she can be you know, challenged.
She can
in some
be stabbed.
Way.
She can be killed.
Right, right. And you don't get a lot of that challenge through the movie. So it is nice to see them actually be, you know, somewhat human.
She's not just you know, some rich. Rich dude that has some sweet power suit that he puts on.
Exactly.
You know?
So,
that's right.
You know, check the Iron Man. You could say the same. You could say the same about Batman. You know? They're just like rich dudes with sweet toys. But Jessica Jones has to, you know, operate in the real world.
That's right.
And like, you know.
I know.
She's hustling, man. She's got to make it as a private eye.
Right.
She can't just be like, oh, I've got a fucking infinite
I guess
resources.
I'll use my superpowers on the weekends.
Yeah, you know, I've got a submarine and a fucking plane. Good. It all looks like bats, too, because I just have that much God. Kind of fuck off
God.
Money.
Oh, my God. We're not talking about, like, DC. Ever. Ever right now.
Ever. Right.
I mean, I'm sure sometime we will. All right.
But getting back to, like, season one, season two, like,
right.
talking about Kilgrave. Kilgrave is such a big part of season one and why the show was so great.
He's a big part of season two towards the end, too.
So my question was, like, kind of, like, how does he compare to, like, her mother as a villain? Like, does she live up? Like, that's
so
a hard
that's the same thing with really Black Panther. It's like this. Is Kilgrave a villain or an antagonist? That is the thing you have to ask yourself.
Well,
I think
Kilgrave.
I think Kilgrave.
He's an antagonist.
Kilgrave's a pretty bad
guy.
He's a villain.
Killmonger's a little more.
Killmonger.
I'm sorry, Killmonger. Killmonger. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
There's too much kill. Too much kill going on. So
Murder corpse.
Right.
Yeah. Murder.
Killmonger. Killmonger's an antagonist. Kilgrave is straight up murderer.
Yeah,
her mother is a antagonist.
Oh, like Killmonger. I see.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the thing she did throughout season two was to always, she wanted so desperately to see Jessica. It's like, where's my daughter? Where's my husband? Where's my son? And it's like, your son and your husband are dead. Where is Jessica? And it's like, she got adopted and she's away. She's fine. No, I want to see my daughter. She was horribly burnt and she had to heal. So this helped her heal. It didn't heal certain parts of her, but she wanted to see her daughter so badly. And when she finally did, she goes, I'm your mom. And it was just like one of those moments where it's like, you're such a murderer. And I was like, what am I going to do with you? So it's about Jessica Jones basically saying, what am I going to do with this mess that is my mother?
Freddy Krueger?
Right. At the beginning, and then, of course, she healed.
Like Deadpool and shit?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Right. It was pretty, she was burnt up.
So speaking of, let's move on and talk about the Deadpool 2 trailer. This okay. is super exciting.
Great segue.
Yeah. No doubt. Deadpool 2 trailer was really funny, as you could possibly expect. Again, not being super into the comics, like, I didn't realize going into Deadpool 1 that this was going to have anything to do with any existing comic book series. And realizing this is part of the X-Men thing, like, completely tripped me out. Because everything else about the X-Men feels like this totally different sort of universe and culture. And then you got Deadpool, who is, like, he, like, can jump out of the comics and sort of has, like, mastery of everything around
him. He's self-aware.
And super satirical. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it almost seems like he doesn't belong, but now he's been added to it, and now that he's there, it's like the most perfect satire of everything that the X-Men is. I don't know. Is that the right way to interpret this?
Well, in the comic books, he will talk to you.
Right.
He is very aware that he is a comic book character.
Yeah.
And so he will talk. Like, if you read the comic books, he's just like, what the hell is going on here? And he'll look straight at you, and it's like, oh! It's like, oh my God, I'm reading this, and he knows that he's a comic book character. And he just kind of, you know, kind of keeps that to himself, and they kind of put a little bit of that in the movies, which I kind of like, actually.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, it doesn't feel, again, like, I tend to gravitate to the ones that don't feel like the rote kind of same style and imprint of a lot of different comic book films, and that one again was just like really out of sync with like the general style and lexicon even of
they played around in the first one, they played around with that dichotomy between what we expect from the X-Men with Colossus being like, this is goody goody two shoes, come on man, be cool. And, like, Deadpool just keeps making fun of him. And then, like, the best part of the first one is just, like, Colossus gets his butt kicked. And then, like, that Supergirl just wrecks the bad chick. So.
Yeah. Right. So, who is Cable? What's going on there?
Okay, Cable is the child of Cyclops and Madeline Pryor. Madeline Pryor is a clone of Jean Grey that Mr. Sinister created, basically. So they had a baby. And then at some point, it turns all weird and crazy. But literally, their consciousness of Jean Grey and Cyclops goes into the future to raise him. He has a techno-organic virus.
Sure,
and
sure.
Now I just went into nerddom.
I just think you might have lost me a second.
Right.
Anyway, Cable is from the future. He's coming back. He's trying to correct things. Basically, he has a daughter called Hope Summers, and she is supposedly the messiah of mutants. And he's trying to correct things. He's trying to kill certain people. He's trying to save certain people. So that's why in the comic books, it's like, are you a killer or are you a savior? What the hell is going on? You know, he's trying to do it. And he ran into Deadpool at one point in the comic books. And first meeting was not great, like most superhero types. And then they became friends, and they ended up... Cable is the one who formed X-Force. It wasn't Deadpool. But, of course, in the movies, Deadpool is way more popular
right.
than Cable, and there you go.
Yeah. All I know is Terry Crews is in this, and I am super stoked for Terry Crews. Is he an X-Force, or is that what it looks like?
He is an X-Force character. I can't remember his name right now. So
Terry Crews, you like, everything that he's in, you know he's having so much fun. Right. Like, it's the most authentic, absolute just joy in the work he does. I absolutely love watching him in anything. I don't care if he's the exact same shit in every single role he does, which he isn't, but sometimes he is.
Right.
I don't care. I could watch him do him forever. He's amazing.
He's awesome. Can't go wrong. I just remember, this is not having anything to do with Deadpool, but like his scene in The Expendables where he just has that shotgun. He's just mowing dudes down. I'm like, yeah, get it, Terry Crews. Oh, I love Terry
Crews. He's amazing. So what other questions do y'all have about like the trailer? Like, who are some of the certain people that y'all are kind of wondering about?
I'm just interested about the X-Force, man. Like, what this group is all about. Like, is it
like
kind
Domino?
Of like is it kind of like an offshoot of the X-Men, where you can kind of be a little bit more of a prick and kind of have a bad side to you, or what?
They are the ones that are, they don't play well with the X-Men because they think that the X-Men are too goody-goody.
Right, that's the vibe I was getting.
So,
like the punk rock X-Men.
These are the anarchist bad boys that are like this, flipping the finger and saying, we do what we want when we want, and you cannot control us. You're really cute and shit, Professor X, but fuck you. You know?
I find something relatable.
Like, and I love him for it, especially Domino, because she is a mutant that can affect probability, like Scarlet Witch. She's a higher version of that.
Oh, okay.
But like, luck basically always goes in her way. It's like someone shoots a bullet, veers off to the side, and hits someone else. It doesn't hurt her.
Mm.
She can do probability and manipulate it.
Or like
not predict
superpowers
it.
That are like unexpected, like some shit you got to really like wrap your brain around. Right. You know, that's right. kind of actually what was so cool about Kilgrave was like, you know, there are so many moments where you're just like, just fucking kill the guy, just shoot him. But like, he could just be like, no, because that person's going to knife themselves in the throat. And also, like, those five people are going to have to jump off the bar and hang themselves. Right. And
he has to be very specific.
Yeah, he sets up this whole chessboard around it for his power, which ultimately, like, the power of persuasion isn't something most people would elect for.
I think it's pretty ambiguous, like, superpower, because you don't always see... if he's using his power or if he's just being a manipulative asshole,
and
which
think,
is
like,
a
I don't
fine
know if
line.
He's to be believed, but even he didn't know that. You know what I mean?
At the beginning, he didn't know.
Right.
And he would just say things and people would do it. And then he would be like, what the hell? You just did what I said. And he didn't even know what was going on. And I think it's sad, like his parents, if you watch Jessica Jones, they did this to him.
Right.
They did this to their own son.
All the experiments.
Yes, and it just...
I feel like whatever Kilgrave was,
say,
I was the
they
opposite
say,
of that
They
in
say
college.
They were trying to, you know, save his life.
Right, no,
or whatever,
they weren't,
something.
Whatever. And, I mean, how do you feel? You hate him for what he did to innocent people?
Yeah.
But you kind of hate his parents. They abused the fuck out of him.
Well, weren't they also like trying to save him from some sort of shit, or is that just a ruse? Because like, who's to be believed there? You know, the like the psycho mass murderer, or like the parents that actually.
Yeah, I mean,
got
you,
killed?
I think it's kind of blurred. You don't know if they were actually trying to save him from something, or just saying it, or if they were actually just wanting to experiment on their own child. And if they were trying to do that, then they're fucked up people. It was they deserve what they got.
Like when it first came out, there were so many discussions online about like gaslighting and sexual assault. And I think like one of the themes is like, truth is not always clear. It's a little bit ambiguous. Yeah. So I like how there was kind of that lack of clarity, that obscurity to his backstory.
No doubt.
But are we done talking Deadpool?
We're moving on.
Deadpool.
Yeah, we're sorry. We're going anywhere.
Oh, go ahead.
So, one of the I saw this trailer and at first I thought it was a joke, and then I was like, oh my god, this isn't a joke. This is for reals. And it was
this
the Karate Kid 2 trailer. For reals. So when you're kind of an old nerd like myself, Karate Kid 1, 2, 3, all like just, you know, must watch movies. They're in the anthology of every movie that you like go back to and love as a kid. And then there was like, you know, the Hilary Swank Karate Kid reboot and the Jaden Smith Karate Kid reboot. But now we're going back to like the actual original. We got Daniel LaRusso. We got Johnny from Cobra Kai Dojo. And this looks like such a fucking funny movie. And my favorite part about it is that Daniel LaRusso is such a dick. He's the dick that you just can't stand that grew up in high school in the same city that they never left and became the fucking car dealer. It's so hilarious.
I love the flip here. To make the Cobra Kai guy essentially the protagonist is so wonderful. Like, the idea that just because you were cool for this one moment in time and you're a good person. I don't know if LaRusso is going to be a bad guy, but it looks like he's kind of a dick.
Yeah.
And I love that idea, like, of just, like, bad guys aren't always bad guys forever. Good guys aren't always good guys forever. I that's the most intriguing thing to me.
Did you see the fan recut of Karate Kid, the original Karate Kid, where they show that Daniel LaRusso is really the enemy and that Johnny's really the protagonist? This is like one of the most popular. All right, we got.
I feel like they watched that.
Oh, and then exactly. Made Cobra Kai. That's what I felt when I saw this. I was like, "Holy shit!" They literally made it where Daniel LaRusso is the enemy, like he was originally intended to be. Because if you watch, he is such a dick. If you watch this fan recut, and I know, like, you know, of course, that's not what they're trying to do with this with the original plot, but this is what this seems to be.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is on YouTube Red, like.
Oh, yeah.
There's Netflix, there's Hulu, yeah. There's, you know, all these other streams. But YouTube Red, like, how do you...
They're making a big swing that? There.
Like,
yeah. I kind of actually forgot YouTube Red was a thing over the couple years they've been pushing it.
Because
I just, you know, I've been keyed into Hulu and Netflix and whatever. Yeah. And I watch YouTube all the time, but I've never gotten... I never had a reason to want to get a subscription to it.
Right. And now they're creating one, which is really cool.
It makes sense, yeah.
Like, everyone's going to want to watch this.
Yeah, I got YouTube on the, you know, Apple TV. You can watch it on the big screen.
Yep.
It'd be great to watch YouTube videos, make it really accessible for, you know, web filmmakers to play for a big screen, you know, instead of just a desktop. So
that
should be cool.
Do you subscribe to YouTube Red?
No.
No.
But I feel like it's a good idea. I haven't really – that's the first thing I've heard of on there. So
No doubt. Do they have any other original programming that you
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Like, YouTube for me,
it's like, why are you waiting so long to, like, have a, you know, a streaming film studio? Yeah. It seems obvious.
Yeah.
I think maybe Nightwing, who's basically the grown-up version of Robin, I think they had, like, a YouTube Red series on there. I didn't watch it. I was looking at his costume because I wanted it.
Trying to build like cosplay.
I do enough. A little cosplay for your business. It's all about Richard.
Richard out.
It's red.
Richard out. That's a thing. I love that that is a thing.
The fact that YouTube Red is sort of like in the shadows and then is making a big swing with such a piece of cultural, like, cherished content.
Right.
I mean, that's some shaky waters.
Like, what do you want to see from this, like, Cobra Kai thing? Like,
yeah.
What are your hopes and dreams for it?
You know, that it's a hard question to answer because, like, so much of what I loved about Karate Kid was Mr. Miyagi.
Know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, after that, it all seems sort of like, you know, just don't touch it, don't explore it anymore.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm like ready. It's been long enough now. We can talk about it. You know what I mean? We might be able to get something out of it that could be really good. I almost just kind of want it to be more making fun of itself than anything.
Hmm.
With maybe some thread of like meaningful tension where Johnny's the good guy. You know what I mean? I would like to see that explored where Daniel's like, you know, it got to his head. He went to the dark side of the force.
Right.
Johnny flipped. You know what I mean? Like, I'd like to see that happen. I think that's probably what my expectations are.
Right. That, I don't know. I'm just excited for the rivalry. Like just to have Cobra Kai versus, what is the name of LaRusso's dojo?
I don't know if he has one. I think it's the used car.
I heard LaRusso. I watched it like a couple of times, and then a Hillary Swank one. Then I'm like, I'm done.
Will Jackie Chan be in this one?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Will Jackie Chan be in
this? Oh,
man.
Oh, my God.
That Karate Kid, I think, needs to be omitted from the canon. I don't know if it's included in the canon. Not to say that Jaden Smith didn't do fantastic in that film. He did, but that wasn't even karate that they learned. I was just... It's like, why'd you even call it the Karate Kid?
Can we do for like a future game? Can we just have things that should be omitted from like nerd culture, like things we don't like, like
yes.
bad movies, the friggin' Last Airbender movie, that right. sort of thing.
Toads,
like yeah,
Smigotes.
Whatever comic book series needs to go.
Right. So tweet us at NerdAFShow and Facebook us at NerdAFShow and Instagram us at NerdAFShow. I could have said that one.
We get around. We get around.
iTunes is
what iTunes. Think we should name it and what should be omitted from like yeah. comic book and nerd lore.
What needs to die a flaming death? Moving on. Last episode, we were talking about which of the Avengers needed to die in the upcoming Avengers. And
some divine intervention. Some news came down that Captain America's Chris Evans' last MCU movie may be Avengers 4.
That's right.
It's time for him to go.
He's retiring.
I don't think so. I think he can dies walk in Infinity away Wars from instead. It. He gotta die.
He's gonna die.
He gotta die. He what can walk if away from it.
He and Iron Man died and my dreams came true.
Oh my God.
If they both went out,
no.
Why are you so hateful?
Don't take out Iron Man. Right. He is so cool.
Now like, Iron Man could be like a fucking hologram. I'm sorry.
He does do the AI thing. Yeah, in Homecoming. I mean, he could be an AI. He can do it, but you can't replace the genius, the billionaire philanthropist, playboy, masterpiece, wonderful man that is Tony Stark. You can't replace it.
Ugh. There you go. He's such a capitalist superhero. He's like, ooh, I bought my power.
But anyway, Captain America could.
He's so arrogant.
Avengers 4.
He's a lovable asshole.
Well, yeah, I'm excited about Tony, like yes, Captain Marvel. Let's just think about this real quick.
With Captain Marvel.
If Captain America goes away.
Yeah.
She will be the new, basically because she's an Air Force person and she got like powers from the Kree. And she's as strong as the Hulk, if not can punch him out, you know.
Right. She can punch out the Hulk?
Yeah. You wow. haven't seen the comic books or the cartoon, like Avengers. Anyway. So, Mighty Heroes. Yeah, she like totally
Richard
punched
knows
out.
The canon.
Okay,
Jessica canon Jones master. Punch out the Hulk?
No, she's not that powerful.
Jessica Jones got knocked out by like Robin with a stick.
Right. I don't know. Oh, that was my one.
Robin.
He kind of like hit her a little bit, and she's like, "Damn." That
she hurt. Was able to hold the cage back.
Right, she can hold up with Captain America about that. But like seriously, Captain Marvel. The new movie is going to take place in, I believe, in 1990s. And Nick Fury's going to have both of his eyes. They're bringing back all, like, the people from the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. before it started going in that direction. Mm-hmm. The people from Guardians of the Galaxy, like the bad guys, they're bringing them there. The Kree.
Okay.
So, Ronan. The Destroyer, he's going to be in this movie.
Okay, yeah. He's the bad guy from the first one, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And they're bringing back Coulson when he just started.
Oh, Phil.
I know. It makes me excited. So, like, this is going to be a great movie because it takes place in the 90s. And she is supposed to show up at the end of Infinity War or at some time during the other Avengers movie.
So Captain America could die, get replaced by Captain Marvel,
right?
And she's stronger than him anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I mean that's a pretty good outcome. I can dig that.
I'm kind of okay with it.
But who do you want to be the new Captain America? Because aren't they going to like?
Does
toss
she
her?
Not become?
It's either two. Lucky so it's either or Sam, right? Right. It's either the Winter Soldier or
why
Sam.
Can't it be her though?
No, she's not. she's Captain Marvel.
She's just like, I'm my own thing?
No, she's her own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like cute and shit. So. Yeah. And she can punch out the Hulk. So let's like Captain America can't punch out the Hulk. I'm just saying.
No one.
But, so in the comic books, two people have been Captain America. It's been the Falcon. And it's been
Winter Soldier.
The Winter Soldier. And I'm kind of excited to see, because a couple of people got upset that a black man was Captain America. And personally,
that's like that's such a beat up story at this point. Why is every single time it's always got to happen the exact same way every single time? You know what I mean? Every time you get any character, because
we're talking about like nerds who are, and I'm not trying to hate on anybody.
There's some toxicity in the community.
Yes,
yes.
Thank you. You said it in a very well thought out way. And yeah. There's that.
No doubt.
And we can, of course, expect the Avengers 4 MRA cut. If
of course. Okay, so and a lot of people, which I'm surprised, they were saying, just let it be Black Panther. And I'm like, I kind of like that. But guess what? He has a country to run.
That's right. Black Panther's king of Wakanda, not captain of America.
Right. You know what I mean? It's pretty diminutive. I'll sub in right now, and I'm done. I got to go back to my peeps.
I'm chosen by a panther god, and you want to make me Captain Popsicle?
Like a walking patriotic song.
He would be Captain America. He would be Black Panther, but like leading the Avengers. But
yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Anyway,
just stick with Iron Man. You'll be fine.
Oh, here we go.
The never-ending struggle.
I mean, it doesn't seem to be a whole lot of question if he's going to be retiring. It seems like Captain's gone. Yeah, it seems like it's a done deal.
With all this news, though, they could throw us a curveball in Infinity War, which makes me scared that Tony Stark might die.
Well, you know, Marvel.
I'm be done with MCU.
Kill them both.
Hey, it may happen. It's like kind of up in the air. I'm kind of excited.
It's an Infinity War. You would imagine at least more than one person would have to die in it for it to be Infinity. Mm-hmm. So speaking of classic wars between nerds, one of the favorite subjects of all time. If you haven't listened to our first episode with Janae Burris, go back and listen to our pilot, because I almost get into my the division between Star Wars and Star Trek.
Here we go.
She said, we need to save that for another episode. And we go, yeah, you're probably right. And a few episodes later, here we are with Professor Pat Traylor. We will be getting back to him in just 1 minute. Stay
Merry
tight.
Christmas.
What are we talking about?
Well, I wanted to talk about the sponsor for this week.
Who's the sponsor this week?
The sponsor this week is Vape Exhale. If you don't know what the Vape Exhale is, I like quite literally argue that this is the best smoking device I've ever... Well, you can't really call it a smoking device, but the best consumption device... Cannabis consumption tool I've ever encountered. You know, it's like this very simple desktop convection oven vaporizer that is... You can use it as a dab rig, so they come with these cool little glass nails. You put some concentrates into it, any kind of concentrate. You drop it down, and you can control the temperature so that this convection heat air hits the concentrate. It's not like grilling on a surface like an e-nail or like a torch.
I mean, everything that you smell in your favorite sugar waxes and your favorite everything, you're actually tasting it at the exact temperature you should be smoking. And it brings out the flavor and everything in a way that I really love.
I actually am sort of a flower nerd, and I love like the really good high-quality flavors in quality flower, and it also allows you to vaporize out of flower as well as concentrates, which makes it like one of my favorite things for that reason. It's more versatile than like a volcano or an herbalizer or whatever for that reason. But I honestly think like if you want to have like one of the healthiest ways to consume cannabis as concentrates, any kind of concentrate you want, any kind of flower you want, check out the Vape Exhale. It is an investment, but you're investing in something that's totally worth it, and it is versatile for the reason that you can hit both concentrates and flower. I love it. I think you should check it out. If you don't, cool. No big deal. Just listen to the podcast and love us. Okay, we're back. That was my best attempt at sounding like a DJ cool guy. Like I said before the break, we're here to talk Star Trek versus Star Wars, or Star Trek plus Star Wars, or is this a love child?
So the reason why this particular conversation is going to be fun to explore is I've always been the classic Star Wars fucking kid. I was born in 1980. I had all the toys growing up. And, of course, I was, like, exactly what they wanted out of a Star Wars fan. I watched all the original films. I watched the re-releases. I watched every version of them. I was ready for the Phantom Menace when it came out because that was, like, such a monumental thing. Always was a huge Star Wars fan, huge Star Wars junkie. I would actually generally argue against and say I hated Star Trek even though I had never seen it. It just seemed like the really unrelatably super geeky stuff out there that I was like, no, it's all about Star Wars fucking lightsabers, right? So as I've been an adult, I've continued down this path. I'm now 38 years old, and only when I was just like halfway through year 37 did I decide to start learning a little bit about Star Trek. Actually, you know what did it was I was watching a documentary about the origin of Star Wars and how really, like, in the creation of George Lucas's contract, he cared more about the merchandising rights than he did about the content itself. And sure, that was what he really ultimately saw as his vision for what he was creating, was something that would be a monumental success in merchandising. And that was a hook with which to capture people through the content. And I started to be like, well, shit, I don't really like consumerism that much. I feel like maybe I'm a puppet. And so I started learning about Star Trek at the same time and learning about what Gene Roddenberry had set out to do with Star Trek, to show this vision of the future where society had tackled some of our deepest, darkest problems and was essentially sort of, you know, expressing different forms of what could be the best version of humanity. And that he was really pushing the limits in his time and place against what network TV would allow in this very strategic way to progress these issues. And I was like, well, that's a pretty honorable stance to start some content with. Maybe I should go check it out. And I started with the pilot episode of Star Trek from the 60s when it wasn't even Captain Kirk. And it was a whole different cast.
Old Captain Pike.
Yeah, exactly. The captain that was just dropped and forgotten for a little while. Right. And I've started working my way through. And I got to tell you, man, I think I'm really way more into Star Trek now.
Nice.
Like, it just feels more right. You know, it feels like they were setting out to do something honorable and righteous,
right,
and they made some fucking really great content, and it's, yeah, of course, it's cheesy, but fuck it, so is Star Wars.
It's real cheesy.
There's puppets in all of it, you know what I mean? So that's what I wanted to talk about, especially because, Pat, I know how much you know about Star Trek. Richard, huge Star Trek fan and huge Star Wars nerd, so we got both going on there. Hugh, mostly Star Wars, right?
But those lightsabers, though.
I mean,
they are cool.
I'm just now getting into Star Trek, so I'm just starting to learn. So let's talk about this. Is Star Trek better than Star Wars? Is one better than the other? Does anybody have a definitive opinion on this?
Does it matter?
I mean, I just want someone to put a line in the sand.
Go ahead.
I don't think they're one is better than the other. They're both great. I think what you said about the merchandising, I think that's not even necessarily a bad thing about Star Wars, because I really love the Star Wars Legos, and I haven't played any Star Wars video games, but there's a lot of Star Wars video game content out there. It's like a super explorable, kind of limitless universe. Where you can just pick up and stop at different points, and like there's a whole lot of stuff going on unrelated to the central plots that you can work in, and you can just, you know, be very creative in that, you know, kind of classic sci-fi but also very fantasy world. Which is sweet. But at the same time, Star Trek is like you said, a mirror for the best of humanity, and like trying to explore a utopian world, and to grapple with that in the face of all these alien challenges,
I mean, it's kind of hard to compare.
Fucking love it, man.
Everyone wants to compare the two, but they're kind of not even in the same genre. It's almost like Star Wars gets lumped into sci-fi when it doesn't belong whatsoever.
It's a western.
Right, it's a fantasy, really.
It's a samurai western.
Right.
That's what Star Wars is.
Is there any reason to argue for it to be even included in sci-fi?
I mean, it is, because, like, it's...
Well, what's the argument?
Space.
Space.
Space. Just space? That's
ships,
it?
There's spaceships, lasers, other planets.
Guardians of the Galaxy isn't a sci-fi. Science fiction has to have elements of, you know, scientific discovery, technology, exploring how it changes our world. There are, you know, the content itself is almost never, you know, strictly just action or fantasy. It's really like, you know, find an element where you can explore some actual science and make a world or, you know, a version of reality now or re-explore the past under that lens. I feel like that's like specifically what makes science fiction. And then you've got all these other genres, like you can call it a space fantasy or a space western, but like just because it's in space doesn't make it a science fiction.
No, I mean, I agree with you on that, but at the same time, there's different like subsets.
Yeah, it's certainly not like hard sci-fi, whatever right. that means.
And that's what Star Trek.
It's a really soft sci-fi.
I mean, it's more
and like moon,
squishy sci-fi,
softcore sci-fi.
Yeah, in Star Trek, the technology is much more of a driving force in the plot yes. and in how they interact with, you know, the universe that they're exploring, I don't remember what I'm saying, but
J.J. Abrams movies, and like in the second one, I think there is a dedication, even in from a character standpoint, to more science exploration than like military conquest. And so that's like a theme throughout the whole show. It's just like it's more about technology.
Yeah, and Star Wars, like that sort of thing. Technology is almost like forgotten and taken for granted, and it's not magical at all because they have. They have the Force magic, which they're all excited about.
Which lets you marry Poppins through
which is
space.
All the Force, man.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
all like great
fucking
and
Mary
stuff.
Poppins in space. So we start on
you know,
Leia
but that's
space
like
rings.
An actual magic, like wizard fantasy,
right?
You know, in space,
no doubt. Yeah, it might as well be Lord of the Rings, except that it's space.
But
Lord
in Star Trek, the magic is. Science is magic.
And bettering...
It's a good point.
...the human condition.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Well, I also love about Star Trek is that they have this ability to infinitely explore anything. Like, the holodeck presents so many options for character exploration or different types of things they could go and do, and it, like, relieves from the just constant, like, rote repeat... always in the ship. The character of Q is one of my favorite fucking characters, I think, of all time.
I love Q.
He's the coolest fucking character, I think, him, yeah. in almost anything of all time. He's so much fun. And, like, I think, like, the writing the writing and the acting is superior in Star Trek. It's hard to argue this because they're using these classically trained Shakespearean theater actors. I mean, you've got hard-hitting actors serving as every captain all along the line. And you've got, you know, sometimes fucking models like Hayden Christensen playing Anakin and ruining a classic character.
But Hayden Christensen, though.
With the original ones.
There's some things you can compare here, and it's just like some things don't stand up.
Let's look at Obi-Wan Kenobi. He was British,
you're right.
Like, come on,
yeah, James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones. I'm like, yeah,
but I mean,
we can't do that.
Mark Hamill wasn't that great. He was really whiny and hard to tolerate.
Well, of course he. I mean, of course he was. I mean,
you
like,
are part
was
of the
like,
Rebel Alliance of Atreides. Take it away.
Oh my god.
Fantastic work.
I cannot compare. I don't want to.
As a huge Star Trek fan, Pat, what did you think about the J.J. Abrams Star Trek?
That's a divide.
Because I know this can be a controversial
topic. It's a very, very controversial topic, of course.
Kelvin. I know what we were talking about.
The dueling timelines, you know, the different actors. But I like the new movies. I like the old movies probably more, but I think they're a good thing in that they got people excited about Star Trek and brought new people into the franchise, which was can be withering at times. I love all Trek. Strek? All Strek? You just gonna call it Strek? Love me some Strek?
Strek? Combine it. I got you.
Hashtag Strek?
Hashtag Strek.
It's better than Stwars, you're right.
It's way better than Stwars. They hurt. They chafe. Star Trek, yes. The new movie's good.
What would you say?
I mean, they're infuriating at times. Like, why just remake Wrath of Khan, like, worse?
Right.
But I think they have potential. I liked the first one a lot. And
the first one was really good.
I liked the third one. So
I wouldn't watch the most recent one because what was the Fast and Furious director did it and I was just like, don't right. Fast and
I mean,
Furious
it was entertaining, but
I agree with that.
The first one was good. I really like the Nero in the first one was a great villain.
Yeah, absolutely. The Spock time traveling shit, that was great.
I love
the one of the only comic books I read was like a prequel to the new movie, which was like a Star Trek comic book where the next generation crew goes on a mission with Spock and it sets up all the events with Nero
nice
you know and Spock going in back
in
time
that was in that universe
yeah
that's right they were in
it started,
the next
and they brought back
universe
yeah
they
brought
back.
They brought back Data like because in the final Star Trek movie sorry spoilers from super old movies are about to happen. Because in the final Next Generation cast movie, Data dies, and they had found his brother B4.
Right, they downloaded his consciousness
that you'd never heard of before,
B4,
right?
Though.
Like
well,
a
his
prototype.
Was in TNG.
Yeah, Lore.
Right,
his brother Lore, but he had
like
another
brother.
Brother,
right? Oh, he had another brother.
Yeah,
yes.
And they
Lore is great character, by the way.
Yeah,
also,
yeah, he's
sure.
great.
But, yeah, he was the dumber one. Like the one they discovered, but they downloaded Data's all of his consciousness into him, so he is developing at this point.
Right.
I feel.
Yeah, so at the end, that's like one of the final parts of the last movie. What was it called? The last
next movie. It was the one with
Nemesis.
It was Nemesis.
We'll say Nemesis.
Still got it.
Like, Nemesis.
Yeah. At the end of Nemesis, like one of the last parts is
Tom Hardy
is before, like you know, trying to process his data.
Can you believe process Tom data? Hardy was Picard's clone?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where he was skinny.
Uh-huh.
Look at that man now.
Yeah, I thought.
I'm just saying.
I thought he was good in that.
I mean, I'm not trying to look at him, but I mean. I'm looking at him.
Yeah. fair enough.
He was
Tom
Bane.
Hardy is getting
he was
everything.
Bane.
He was super bald, super
Bane.
White.
Isn't he in a new movie?
Awesome.
Like, new superhero movie?
He's in Venom.
Venom. That's
yeah,
right.
He's
Venom. Oh, he's playing Venom?
Yeah.
Dude.
Can you believe that was
but
him
they didn't
back
show
then?
Venom in the trailer.
Yeah. Well, no,
that's
it's all right. It's all right. I don't want to see him. I want to see him in a movie.
Anyway, but in the...
There you go.
In the Star Trek comic book prequel to the Star Trek, J.J. Abrams Star Trek, before or Data has come back as before and talks to Spock, and they have this great conversation about like coming back because you know, of course, in Wrath of Khan and Search for Spock, he has his own resurrection, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah,
pretty exciting. Stuff. Oh, God.
So that started the whole time travel.
Yeah,
thing
and then Spock went back in time with the red matter or whatever that
was.
Right,
was.
The antimatter.
So that was the Kelvin universe.
Yeah, and then they come jump or Spock is there for a while, I guess, and then the Narada, I believe, is Nero's ship. Comes back and attacks.
But
the
he
Kelvin.
Hides though. Spock hides because he doesn't want to. Like cross his younger self,
right,
until
and try not
he
to
does.
Interfere, in the,
right? Exactly, like,
in the Abrams verse.
That was one of my complaints about the second film, at least, like because they had done like the cool like homage to Leonard Nimoy and Spock in the first one. That was really cool. In the second one, he explicitly says, "Well, you know, I've kind of dedicated you know myself a, like to not." You know, kind of alter your timeline by telling you stuff.
Right.
But here's all the information you need to know about Khan.
Never mind.
I guess Khan is just that dangerous. Like, I had a problem with
that. Movie. I love that movie. I guess it was Uhura. Like, when she came down, Uhura, when she came down, she was just like, I'm going to help you, Spock. And it's like Uhura and Spock. I'm like, the hot.
I like that. See,
that
and,
was beautiful.
And this is what
me.
Like really gets me wanting to make an absolutist line in the sand and fight this battle about Star Trek versus Star Wars is because like Star Trek has done so much that meant so much. Like MLK endorsed Uhura in Star Trek, and it was like
he
everything at the time.
She wanted to quit.
She did.
Right.
You are correct.
And he convinced her to.
And,
And you got Star Wars, which has done what for the culture?
We got some sweet Legos out of it.
It's getting sweet Legos.
Now. Sweet ass Legos.
It's getting close.
Now,
you're right.
I mean, I think now it's absolutely doing that. It's like this to have a woman lead, a black man. And,
right.
You know, a Latino. I mean,
I'm just saying, like, right. You know, like it's Star Trek was like back in the 60s pulling this shit off. You know what I mean? I think that's pretty impressive when you look at the grand scheme of things. For and sure. So that's what's been making me want to be like, well, fuck Star Wars. Well, I'm wearing a Star Wars shirt, by the way, but
right.
And I'll never think fuck Star Wars. I still love
my
it.
Favorite, my favorite, no. My favorite Star Trek would be Deep Space Nine with
I was gonna ask you
with Avery Brooks as Captain Sisko.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that?
About what?
Because it was not the most liked one. Some people, I mean, when it came out, like on Netflix, then people start watching it, or like on syndication.
Yeah,
and I love the series because it's the Bajorans who are the Jewish people, and the Cardassians, which are the Nazis.
Right,
and you just see like how it is, and he is the emissary.
Right.
And it's so beautiful that he is like from the space aliens and like a human.
Right.
I loved it. I don't want to give it away because there's so many seasons and there's war.
Yeah, there's seven seasons.
So many seasons. But people hated it at first. People hated Captain Sisko because Sisko hated Picard.
Right.
Because he goes like this, it's because of you. You brought the Borg here. You killed my wife. And now that's why I'm a single father with my son. And to see that,
it's pretty legit.
To see like this black man go up against like everyone loved Picard.
Right.
And he goes like this, I blame
I'm just
you.
Keep saying right.
Right. And he goes, hey, this is my station. Now get off. Like literally he was like, get the hell out of here. And everyone was like, oh my god, that's Picard.
Picard's a rad character, but he's pretty fucking arrogant too. I like
that. He's super arrogant in the first seasons, and then he gets less arrogant.
You're right. I noticed the transition.
Whoopi Goldberg, Dinan, like always calls him on his shit.
She brings him down.
Whoopi Goldberg is my favorite. I had no idea that she had this like major Star Trek role, but she's like a bartender that's a spiritual healer as a bartender with fabulous hats, and I'm just like so thrilled because I'm like, what? I didn't know this. It's like a gem.
She gave Worf. I love this. Like she gave Worf. She goes like this. Here, drink this. It was prune juice. And Worf was like, this is the best thing I've ever tasted in my life.
He
and she's
fucking
like,
loves prune juice.
And she goes like this. She's like, you're welcome.
I mean, prune juice is all right. It's not bad.
I'm like, he's real into it.
I'm going to drink it.
Most people are into prune soda. They're like Dr. Pepper. It's like prune soda.
I'm just going to just eat a plum.
I'm with you on that one.
All right, so I'm hellbent on causing a battle between Star Wars and Star Trek. So I think what we should do is like a fantasy draft situation.
Three on three.
Heroes versus villains.
Heroes versus villains.
We're gonna pick the three best villains from Star Wars, and then we're gonna pick the three best heroes from Star Wars, and then we're gonna do the same from Star Trek. And then we're going to pit them up against each other and see if maybe through this short list we can determine a winner through just, you know, objective sciencing.
Sounds good.
That's what they call it.
All right, so three best villains from Star Wars. Who are we going to throw out there? Vader, of course. Yeah, of course. Vader's in there. I mean, I've always been a huge fan of Darth Maul. And he went out like a punk, and that wasn't his fault. He went out like a punk.
In Rebels, he goes down in 2 seconds.
That's a good point.
We bring him back.
All right, you know, like, he wasn't that strong. He didn't, like, have all the force going with him.
Boba Fett is always...
Obi-Wan's like, boom.
Is Boba Fett a villain?
Again.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, I think Boba Fett just kind of got punked out by Luke. You know what I mean? So...
Yeah.
I don't know how strong he really was.
All right, that's
who I love.
He's got a rocket pack.
The what?
Mandalorians. I love it.
Oh, just in general.
I think you have to have the Emperor on it.
The Emperor. I mean, Sidious. I mean, you can't really deny him.
Should we do Snow?
You can't like leave out Sheev Palpatine.
What's her name? Ventress. Sus Ventress, the shaved head. She was a part of the witches.
I don't know that much.
on that side.
No, you know her throughout, like, the Clone Wars. Saoche Ventress.
Yes, I do remember her. She fights with two lightsabers?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think she's amazing.
Okay, what's her last name? Or what's her name again? Ventress?
What's her
surname?
Saoche Ventress.
Ventress.
I believe. Yeah.
All right, she's on there. All right, so let's go for the three best heroes. I mean, Obi-Wan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, there was some hesitation there. Right. Not into Obi-Wan.
What you got?
Oh boy!
Bring it.
I just wish Anakin would have won the fight. Man. I'm just gonna say.
Anakin, crazy.
Yeah. But we got Vader, so I mean,
we have Vader already. So Obi-Wan definitely can be on that.
Obi, okay. You know, all right.
We
so
have to do Rey.
Has she proven herself yet?
Ahsoka.
Who's his
name? Absolutely. Okay, and then I just want to say, like, just looking at the draft so far, if I was to pick somebody that I think did a pretty damn good job of almost like killing like the most powerful person on this list, it's I can't remember his name because Samuel L. Jackson played him.
Mace Windu.
Hell yeah.
If it hadn't been for Anakin's punk ass, Mace Windu would have killed Sidious. So like. Right?
That's true. I agree.
Should we throw basement?
Rey always rises up to the occasion.
I'm just saying.
I believe in Rey. But Mace Windu is a very strong addition.
I'm just knowing what he's up against here, you know what I mean? I just don't know if Rey could take out Sidious.
No.
Mace Windu could.
We're doing Star Wars versus Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They're
going to
take on the heroes from Star Trek.
Okay, so what are we thinking? We got.
Go with Mace.
Mace Windu. Okay.
Mace. Ahsoka.
She's on here.
Okay. Ahsoka's already on there. Yeah.
All right. So here's what we got in the villain column. We've got Vader. We got Sidious, and we've got Ventress. In the hero column, we've got Obi-Wan. We've got Ahsoka, and we've got Mace Windu.
Woo!
All right, Star Trek. Let's go for the three best villains of Star Trek.
Shit.
That's a big con.
Like, so, I mean, the Khan, Borg.
The Borg
are fucking like, intense.
Right.
Khan. And they're like a villain and many villains.
Right.
So, all right.
Khan,
but I guess if it's one person, it's like the Borg Queen.
The Borg Queen.
Keeping us honest.
That's a good point. Let's put Borg Queen.
I mean,
because
obviously the Borg would just.
Yeah, there's
everywhere.
Just so many of them.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Khan, the Borg Queen.
You could Death Star a Borg cube, though, probably.
Would Khan go up here? Is Khan...
would you say Khan?
Khan's a good villain.
You've got one over here on the board, I think.
Gold Dukat.
All right, so you got to give me some background on what even
Gold,
that means.
Gold Dukat is the evil...
Deep Space Nine, baby.
Overthrown commander of Deep Space Nine, the Cardassian commander of Deep Space Nine, and or Terok Nor, as it was known during the occupation.
That's right.
All right.
An overseer of Bajor,
yes.
Where the planet that they're in close proximity to during the show.
Right.
And, you know, so he's been deposed from his rule there, which he quite enjoyed. Mm-hmm. Now he's just a Cardassian with a bad attitude.
Every time you say Cardassian, I hear Kardashian.
It's so hard.
Goddamn Cardassians.
It's so hard. Okay,
not
so we got
the Kardashians.
Let's get into the heroes. Who are the three best heroes from Star Trek?
Spock.
Spock did seem to make it through most of the biggest, most intense shit in Star Trek. Yeah,
that's true.
I love Spock.
Yeah, you want Spock around.
Oh, he's
that
strong.
Sounds good.
I mean, is Kirk a good enough hero? Did he do enough good things?
He's got the sweet jump kick where he like double jump. It's like jumps up and he falls down also, but like the alien goes down. It looks ridiculous.
Uhura.
But
Uhura.
All right, so we've got to think of like
she's not a warrior.
She doesn't really get into the fights and stuff, right?
Getting in fights.
Have you seen
I like Worf in a fight, you know?
Worf
is solid in a fight.
Worf.
All right, we'll put Worf on the board.
Okay, good for you. Yes. Right.
We need one more.
How about the Changeling?
Yeah, Odo.
What about Odo. Q? Q's kind of chaotic neutral, right?
I think you can count you can count Odo on the hero side.
Odo can shapeshift
and that's badass.
All right, so here we go on the Star Trek side. We've got for the three villains, we got the Borg Queen, we got Khan, and we got Ghoul Dukat. On the hero side, we've got Spock, we've got Worf, and we got Odo. Now we got a death match.
Death match.
So
fight.
Fight.
How do we pair this up here? Do we got to figure out like what is a good pairing between the villains and then the heroes?
No, it's just 3-on-3, right?
Or is it? How about the heroes from Star Trek take on the villains?
That's
from
a great
Star
idea.
Wars.
Let's cross this.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so on Star Wars, we got Obi-Wan, Ahsoka, and Mace Windu versus Borg Queen, Khan, and Ghoul Dukat. Who do we stack up against these cats? I mean, I think like. You know, the Borg Queen is arguably the strongest of the villains, yeah?
Yeah, because she can just, you know, puncture somebody with her little nano bots, mm-hmm. and, you know, they become her minion.
Right. Part of the Borg Collective.
Right.
So, I'm
so she's only going to hit one of them. But
resistance
they all
is futile.
We should probably stack Mace Windu against her then, I'm thinking. Maybe.
Okay, because he's pretty strong.
He's like one of the most powerful ones on the list because he almost killed Sidious.
And but Obi-Wan he did it, and Ahsoka is it. What?
Sure, but
she got pulled out through the Temple of Time.
Oh!
She had to get saved.
Oh
yes,
God.
I just crossed
so
Star Wars
serious.
And Zelda. Deal with it.
Do you think we should stack Windu against the Queen? Do you think that's a good pairing?
Yeah, that sounds good. Who are the other Star Wars villains?
Villains? Well, we're doing the heroes of Star Wars versus the villains of Star Trek. So we got Windu versus the Borg Queen.
Damn.
Let's stack up... Ghoul Dukat seems like he's pretty legacy.
He's just sneaky.
Should we pit him against Ahsoka or Obi-Wan?
Ahsoka.
And put Khan against Obi-Wan?
Yeah,
oh, that rhymes.
I mean, these guys all have... They all have their magical fucking lightsabers. They're probably going to win.
Yeah, yeah. Like, how do you stop
Star Wars is going to win.
How do you stop the Force? That's all I'm going to ask you.
Yeah, because they have magic.
Yeah, but I mean, like, all the clones shot most of the Jedi's dead. So, like, all you have to do is just have a lot of blasts.
Yeah, they have enough firepower. Like, where are they starting off from? Like, are you starting in space where you have ships?
I think you're, like, with your resources available to you, right?
Okay, you're just rolling in onto neutral ground at a specific time with your ship.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a planet you can crash on and, like, do some ground combat.
Yeah, I mean, if they're just one-on-one, you're right. You got, like, fucking magic.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, one-on-one.
So, Mace Windu versus the Borg Queen. Mace Windu's a general. Borg Queen's a general, essentially, right? They have fleets.
She's in charge.
Okay.
She's a queen.
How does she face the Force? That's the big question.
He flies his little ship all, you know, right up on the cube and, like, you know, gets inside there and just lightsabers a whole shit ton of Borg.
Right.
I mean,
Windu could do it.
Yeah,
can he totally stop her nanobots from getting into him?
Yeah, he'll just be like, whoa.
Yeah.
And
all right, boom.
They come out.
He has fucking magic.
She possesses herself
just
and gets stunned.
Thank you.
And
malicious
then he comes
cyborg.
In for the kill.
Fatality. Yeah. Borg Queen is down. Mace Windu's
fine. Finish her.
Finish
it. Ahsoka versus Ghoul Dukat. So Ghoul Dukat to me sounds like a weathered warrior.
Yeah.
Ahsoka is still she's still kind of young. She hasn't
had full Jedi training. Remember
that's right. She has not even a full Jedi.
She's weathered and leathered.
He's like Nixon.
She's like, hey, what's up? Chop your head off.
Can she?
If this is a fighting game. Her ultimate move.
What can Ghoul Dukat bring to the fight?
I don't know who this Star Wars.
We can take care of that. What can Ghoul Dukat bring to the fight?
Damn. Jesus.
All right. Well, he's probably just a better manipulator than he is an actual fighter. So
does he have like his own like crew?
Yeah, he's got some cronies,
like mercenaries.
For sure. Yeah.
He's got the mercs.
Yeah, they're like loyal to him. They're like sworn to him because they think he's real cool and like a huge racist. And so they love him.
Oh, God.
Oh, so he's got a little Nazi crew.
Yeah, he's got a little Nazi crew.
Oh,
he's horrible. And they'll do whatever he says.
Women.
Yes.
He's horrible.
So they're essentially going to be really angry and want to really fuck up Ahsoka.
Yeah, he might shoot down her ship. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if they got in close, she could take care of him.
Because of the lightsaber and the magic?
Due mostly in part to the lightsaber and the magic.
Yeah. When you can stop light at a single point, you're not going to lose. Yeah.
But Ahsoka never has that power. Really isn't that's very Kylo, terrible. Really. Ahsoka's not that powerful.
But do we know that?
The whole concept of
do
a lightsaber.
Can she take on a whole bunch? What kind of weapons do they have?
They'll have like Cardassian rifles and shit, you know. Yeah. They'll, yeah, I don't know, someone could totally, like one of his minions could hit her, you know, maybe. When she's not looking.
When she doesn't have her.
Quite possibly.
So Ahsoka wins,
but
yeah.
I don't know. She's got like magic also. Right?
This is going to be awful.
6-0 sweep.
Con versus Obi-Wan.
Unless the Star dead. Wars, like, the Star Trek phasers don't bounce off the lightsaber.
Oh.
Like, the Star Wars
but they do.
Blasters do.
That's a really
do
good
they
point.
Do they or don't they? I
that's
don't
a
know.
Good point.
I mean, probably, I but usually they're they like on one stone? Long beam a lot, and I feel like that would be a lot harder to counter
I agree.
With a lightsaber than
it's not just a
just
single
a
bolt.
Single black
right,
bolt.
It's a constant.
Yeah.
You have
right.
to keep it there. Like,
yeah.
All you got to do is wiggle it a little bit, and you get around the lightsaber.
Yeah, I mean, she could maybe she could Obi-Wan, I don't know. She's got
so,
magic, so
Obi-Wan's also got some troops, you know, that he goes in with sometimes. I don't know if we're talking about young or old Obi-Wan, but let's say young Obi-Wan, just for the sake of it being at least a stack up. And then Khan's got his whole army, right? So can amazing. Obi-Wan beat Khan's army?
Well, they're genetically enhanced.
They're genetically enhanced humans, you mm-hmm. know, and they're fucking crazy and do whatever Khan says.
They're very angry.
Obi-Wan's whole army got wiped out by just like clones that right. weren't really like that emotionally involved. They were just like, whatever, we're doing what we're
well, no, his army was the clones, right?
Yeah.
Well, it was, but then they wiped out all the Jedis, which were also
until
his army.
Order, what was it? Order 66?
Order 66, yep.
Yeah. And then they turned on his ass and tried to.
Do we think Khan could beat Obi-Wan here?
I don't know.
This is hard to beat
because his people like are genetic clones, like the crazy clones.
They're almost like clones enhanced, so it seems like they could right. beat Obi-Wan.
If he finds a way to knock out his lightsaber,
plus Obi-Wan runs away from a fight. Obi-Wan runs away from a fight. He eventually's like, okay, I'm gonna be a hermit. I'm gonna go away.
He was trying to raise Luke. Come on now.
Not
he
really.
Was trying to save Luke.
I mean, Darth Maul had him on the ropes, and what did he do?
That's right.
He like pulled his lightsaber. Jumped.
Come on. We all saw. We all saw Rebels when he was like this. He goes. Punk. He was trying to like go up against Luke, and then he was like, "I'm gonna chop your head off." So
I think we're just gonna. I think we're gonna call this one for Khan.
Yeah, we'll call it for Khan.
Really?
Yeah.
Obi-Wan's out. But that's still 2-1
again,
Star Wars versus Star Trek. So
get in super close.
Let's
to
get into
to
this last last round.
Star Wars villains versus Star Trek.
So we got Vader, Sidious, and Ventress versus Spock,
I really like
Worf, and Odo. So who are we stacking up against? I think we got to think Sidious is the hardest one to fight here. Who are we stacking up against Sidious?
Odo probably.
Odo. He's a
shapeshifter. Yeah, Odo. He's totally. A shapeshifter. He's gonna, you know, unless. I don't know. I mean, Sidious has fucking magic again. So, like, he's a shapeshifter. But, Jesus.
I think Spock can take on Vader. Because Vader's, like, all rage and Spock's all logic. That seems like a good pairing.
Until he gets hit with a force choke from distance. Yeah.
Totally. But it's like this. You can't even do a nerve pinch.
Spock might be able to resist some of the. You know, the force powers with his logic. You
that's
know?
Right. He could create
but
some
the
sort
nerve,
of
Vulcan.
The
nerve pinch.
He can do the nerve pinch.
Yeah, he can
you
do
know?
The,
that's pretty force.
That's a thing.
Is he going to get through the armor, though?
He can't.
Because Worf, I mean, look, let's be real. Worf can't take on Vader. Worf couldn't take on a lot of people.
Right.
I mean,
he
I like
his
him,
head chopped off.
So Vader's got to go to Spock. Worf to Ventress. So let's pair
Worf,
them up first because I don't
if
know.
If he had like some sort of light Batleth, you know, he's got a light Batleth.
Okay.
And he's going to fucking destroy everybody.
So those exist in the Star Wars universe, right? So if they're pairing,
yeah,
they
got some kind of thing like that.
So like the things that like the Imperial Guards use.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And,
full
he's
nerd.
Real good with that.
So if he's
full
fighting Ventress,
nerd.
She's got two lightsabers. But not really a whole lot of force magic, right, Ventress?
No, she has.
Oh, she is pretty forcey,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, she's like push people.
She's probably gonna beat Worf. I mean, let's
there's
be honest.
The magic again.
The magic's gonna win.
Always
it's gonna be Worf
for
the magic
for Star Trek.
And the magic.
Star Trek
is
all right,
even
Worf's out.
Some of that magic. And
how do, let's talk about how does Spock beat Vader?
He can't.
He can't.
He can't, like, pinch him. He
can't pinch it through his armor. Right. He can't stop that force.
This is a terrible idea. Magic is ridiculous.
Against logic. You did this on purpose.
Wait, again, you know what?
Again, okay, if they're in their ships, I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the deal. This whole thing's flawed because they're in different fucking genres. This is what it goes back to. You can't compare the two.
Okay, you mean like Doctor Strange and Iron Man? Oopsie daisy.
No, not really. No, I mean
two,
like,
different things: magic versus technology.
Magic can't beat science fiction. It's different.
Space Western, take that.
Unless you have... Oh shit.
Uh-oh, someone's done.
I think we're done.
Someone's done. Oh, my God, we're all
okay,
done.
Okay, okay, okay.
All right,
okay,
we're going to go back to the old tried and true game. We're going to go to Chilling Like a Villain when we come back.
Hey, this is where the second commercial goes, but there's a little problem with the second commercial this week.
The problem with that is that you aren't our sponsor right now.
You should be, though, and it's so easy to be our sponsor. You can reach out to us, you know, direct message on Twitter, at NerdAFShow. We have an email address, I'm sure. That is nerdafpodcast@gmail.com.
We have some really great people who come on and realize that they would like to, you know, pair their brand with some of the conversations that we have and the audience that we reach. And so that's why you should do the same, because not only does it support a really cool bit of content that people are going to love and share, but we're going to give you a really authentic plug and make sure that people know what makes your product special, because we're not going to give you some sort of shitty advertisement that's not going to help us or help you. You want to just make sure that you get, you know, your cannabis brand or your, you know, any brand, really. It doesn't have to be a cannabis brand. I don't know why I'm calling that one out.
Yeah, Adidas, if you want to be a part of this, get in touch, bruh. But
that's right. You know, Subaru. I think nerds like Subarus.
I would drive a Subaru for their show. Right.
Virgin Airlines or Alaska Airlines, I guess.
That's the dream. You know, Hawaiian Airlines. I need to hook up for Hawaiian Airlines. Yeah, just get in touch,
guys. Storage.
Yeah.
AI.
We should just fade it out slowly while we want.
Virtual reality companies. You know, like comic book stores. And we're back. We were going to jump back into a game of Chilling Like a Villain, but we just realized we just played a game on an improv kind of situation. So we're just going to let that be the game for this week. Next week, we'll be doing Chilling Like a Villain. So please, like we said earlier, tweet us at or just hit us up on any of the socials at NerdAF. Let us know what villains you'd like to know are or what they're doing on their free time. You know, how are they chilling?
Time
we want to know.
Back. Do it again at NerdAF Show.
Third.
Yep. Everything else sounded great.
Cool. And we're back. We originally were going to jump into Chilling Like a Villain as a game, but since we just sort of improvised a fantasy draft deathmatch game, we're going to go ahead and skip that for now and save it for next week. So definitely hit us up on the socials at NerdAFShow and let us know who you think should go on the Chilling Like a Villain board for next week. What villains would you like to know, you know, what they're up to in their personal time? How are they hanging out? How are they chilling? What are they up to? What do you want to know? Send us those suggestions. We'll talk about them next week. Let's go ahead and hit the plugs. Richard, what you got going on, man?
Jeez. Why me?
What are you nerding out about?
I am nerding out about From the Dark. It is a horror film. It's independent. It's from Ireland. So
right
it's
on.
Irish. Ireland, Irish. I just saw the first episode of Krypton. Kind of loving it.
Okay.
Superman's
grandfather. I'm having a hard time reading your face there. It looked like you were about to say it was trash.
No, it was not. And I think you would have loved it if I said that. But actually,
it's kind
it is.
Kind of dog shit.
I'm like, it's not like nasty. But no, it's not. It's actually great. It involves time travel. It involves Brainiac and them coming back in time, destroying Krypton. Of course, that happens, whatever. But at the same time, they're trying to destroy Superman. They're trying to destroy the House of El being built, and Jor-El and all of them. It's like this because it's Seg-El, the grandfather of Superman, and basically they want to destroy it. And so Superman is not the champion of Earth.
Okay.
So
that's an interesting take on that.
And it has Adam Strange, which is basically a he's from Earth, but he's a champion also of Renegar, which is, and it has the Hawks. It has like Hawkman, Hawkwoman, or Hawk Girl, and it's kind of cool. And the last thing I want to plug is the X-Files.
I just saw
the last one.
Keeping it alive.
And, man, it was really good.
Really gripped you?
I'm done. And
I only have like two left.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm not going to ruin it. Two or three. I go like this. That and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I've been was watching awesome. It. So, okay, I'm done.
How can people find you online?
At Storm78704.
You're going to be talking about all this stuff on there?
Yeah, on Twitter.
Twitter.
The Twitter.
I will be tweeting.
I will be tweeting with these plebs.
At the Twitter, you can find me. Storm78704 at the Twitter.
Professor P, what are you nerding about lately? What's the things that you're really getting into right now?
Well, I'm going to finish Jessica Jones, even though now Yay! I know... way everything too much about it, about it. But definitely going to finish it.
It's my fault.
No doubt.
I'm sorry.
Enjoying that. If you didn't see Star Trek Discovery, which you probably haven't because it's on CBS All Access.
Amazing!
But if somehow you do see it, it's I would recommend it. I think it's super good. It's different. You know, it's got its negative points, but... I think overall it's really good, and I think it's going to grow into itself really well.
Spock's adopted sister, who's black, and she's cute.
Boom.
Drop the mic.
Sasha from Walking Dead. She's beautiful.
Oh, nice. She's great. Yeah. I love that
She's
actress.
Great. She's
yeah,
great.
She's awesome. How can gorgeous. People find you online, Professor P?
P Trailer on Instagram.
T-R-A-Y-L-O-R.
T-R-A-Y.
Yeah. Right on. Very cool.
No doubt, Hugh, what you into right now, man?
Yo, I'm going to go outside the box here a little bit and then go back inside the box.
Oh!
But I'm going to start with just a quick shout-out to my friend and GM, DM. He just had surgery, and so I'm not going to say his name on the podcast. But,
no doubt.
Just prayers up for him. He's a great GM or DM, Dungeon Master, Game Master, for those who don't know. That's a nerd connection.
Very cool.
But yeah, man, prayers up to him, and that's cool. Also, prayers up to my good friend Pat and all the people at the Denver Post. We live in Denver. Man. There's a lot of rough times coming around, so... I just want to do that. That's outside the box. Inside
support
the box.
Support local journalism.
Yes, definitely support local journalism. Inside the box, Dragon Ball Super, of course, just ended. The animation on it was amazing. Frieza and Goku teamed up, minor spoiler alert. It was incredible. I'm going to miss Goku until the movie, which comes out in December.
Hugh still contends that Goku should have won the death match the last time.
Yeah, still should have won. Though he can't do
beat Wonder Woman.
He can't do that Migate no Gokui anymore.
Oh,
Lastly, I'm gonna need an anime to fill the void. My heart was just listening to the My Hero Academia soundtrack the other night, and it sounded awesome. So awesome that I want to give the anime a shot. So that's gonna be my next step.
Awesome.
Right on. How can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter, at HughJohnson707. Yeah.
Twitter.
The Twitters.
At the Twitter.
So you can find me at Brad Bogus pretty much everywhere. And, you know, this is probably, like, going to be my last sort of time hosting for a little while, unless, like, you know, schedules happen to align perfectly. But I'm not going to be on the next show, unfortunately. And so in the meantime, I'll be geeking out on, I got to finish Jessica Jones. I just started season 2, so I got to watch that.
Woo!
Excited to check that out. You know what I really just saw in the news is that they started a podcast, where Marvel is now using sort of, if you want to call it, radio programming to tell a Wolverine story. So now there's a podcast coming out about Wolverine. It's like something called like The Lost Shadows or something like that, but it's a whole Wolverine story Told on Podcast. And I think I'm going to give that a shot and check that out, since I'll be traveling a lot between Palo Alto and Denver. I'll listen to that, and maybe whenever I get back into town, I can give you guys a review on how that sounds. Yeah. Or, you know, of course, Richard, I'm sure you're going to jump right into it because it sounds like it's right up your alley.
Great, great. One more thing.
I'll All right. do it. So that's it for this episode.
Hey, where can people find you?
I actually started my plug with where people could find me with at Brad Bogus pretty much everywhere.
Oh, okay.
We can say it again, at Brad Bogus. In the future, I will be at Force Ghost Bogus or Force Ghost Brad, but right now I am at, oh shit, someone's going to take that fucking handle.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, edit that out. So that's it for this episode. Make sure you go ahead and follow at NerdAF Show everywhere on all the socials. Of course, you should be listening to us on iTunes by now. And if you are, make sure you rate and review us and share the iTunes link out to everyone in the world. This is how we get our name out there to more and more people, how we get more money to do what we do so we can bring you more great content and bring in really super awesome guests. So what's up, Richard?
One more thing. It's like this. All my gay nerds, I'm a straight nerds, I'm a nerd nerds. It's like this. I put it out there to you on Facebook. It's like, come on, listen to us. We love you.
Share the love. Share the love, because we love talking about this stuff and we love bringing it to you every single day. And shout out to F420 Productions for constantly keeping this thing running. We love them too, and they're how we keep this going. So please, of course, like I said, rate, review, and share us everywhere. That's how we're going to get this thing continuing to move forward and bringing you awesome guests. So for Hugh Johnson and Richard Williams, I am, at least for the last permanent time, Brad Bogus, hosting you at Nerd AF Show. Check us out next week. Out.
I'm going to do the credits now. Nerd AF is a production of F420 Films. We are hosted for the final time this week by Brad Bogus, but don't worry, he'll still be around. We love you, Brad. We were also hosted, as we always are, by Richard Williams and Hugh Johnson. Who will the new third host be? Tell us who you think on Twitter, at NerdAFShow, or on Instagram, same handle, Facebook, same handle. Get in touch. We were produced this week by Andy Caldwell and Vince Chandler, and thank you very much to Stephanie and Duncan. See you next week, guys.